The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In those days, there was a great crowd without anything to eat, and Jesus summoned his disciples, and he said to them, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd. They have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come from a long distance." His disciples answered, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them in this deserted place?" And still he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they replied, 7. He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then, taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, and he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they shared them with the crowd. They also had a few fish, and he said the blessing over them and ordered them to be shared also. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up fragments left over, 7 baskets. There were about 4,000 people there. And he dismissed the crowds and got into the boat with his disciples, and he came to the region of Dalmanuta. The Gospel of the Lord. I would like to really do a reflection on this book of Genesis and the beginning of creation and so forth, but we have scarcely enough time in the morning to do that. So let me just say a few words about the gospel. This gospel comes from the book of Mark. And in Matthew and Mark, there are two feedings of the multitude. One is 5,000 and the other is 4,000. This is the second one here. Now in Luke and in John, they record only one event of the miraculous feeding of the multitude. But Mark, the earliest of the Gospels, mentions two events where Jesus in a miracle feeds the multitude, one 5,000 and this one 4,000. This one is said to be the feeding of the Gentiles. And by the way, the feeding of the multitude is the only miracle which appears in all four Gospels. This is the only one. Therefore, in the early church, clearly it had some great importance. The first feeding of 5,000 is said to be the feeding of the Jews, Jewish people. They pick up 12 baskets. They feed 5,000, not counting the women and the children, it says. And the 12 baskets are meant to symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel. And each disciple will take a basket and will share with the multitude. So clearly it has references to the people of Israel. This one, however, has 7 baskets, which scholars believe this refers to the 7 countries, the Gentile countries that surround the area. We're not sure, but that's the best explanation we have for this number 7. This one, the feeding of the 4,000, happens outside of the territory of Israel. It happens in a place called Kursi, or at least that's what they say, which is across the Jordan, across the Sea of Galilee. And therefore, when Jesus finishes, he gets in the boat and he goes back to Dalmanuta, which is actually the place where the first miracle happened. Now, these miracles are rather significant. They appear in all four Gospels. And in the Gospel of John, in chapter 6 in John's Gospel. The feeding of the multitude is a type of the Eucharist. So all feedings are meant to be what they call a type or an insight into the Eucharist. The hungry people are fed. Meant to be some kind of a preamble to understanding the Eucharist. That becomes very important because in the Gospel of John in chapter 6, that is the theology of Eucharist in John's Gospel. As you know, in the Gospel of John, we do not have the Eucharist at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. Jesus washes the feet of his disciples in John's Gospel and only in John's Gospel. But John does not have Jesus taking bread and taking wine and sharing the Eucharist. John doesn't have that. But he does have the feeding of the multitude in chapter 6. And then Jesus gives a long discourse on the Eucharist. Therefore, especially in John, the feeding of the multitude is meant to be a type, a foretaste, so to speak, an image of the Eucharist. That becomes even more interesting when you begin to look at the large number of people and how they qualify to receive part of the miracle. How do they qualify? They have to be hungry. And therefore, the hunger for the Eucharist is an essential element in understanding the gift of the Eucharist. We don't hunger for the Eucharist. It's so easy and so available. It's so obvious to us that we almost have to be forbidden to take the Eucharist before we begin to yearn for it. Perhaps during this time of the virus, people will yearn more for the Eucharist. Why, we really, really want to receive the Eucharist. Perhaps in this time of the virus, people might yearn more for the Eucharist, or they might get disconnected from the gift of life in the Eucharist. But it does bring into focus how we approach the Eucharist and who qualifies for the Eucharist. If you are hungry for the love of God, you're hungry for healing, you're hungry for the grace of God, you're struggling in life and you need the grace of God, then you're hungry and you become part of the miracle. But that isn't true for many of us. It's so familiar and so available. Seldom enough do we hunger for the Eucharist. Here's a story about the Eucharist that is a true story. It happened to a very extraordinary and wonderful priest in the Archdiocese, Monsignor John Sheridan, who was a patriarch in Malibu there for many years, died some years ago. And John told me this himself, years and years ago. He was doing the Saturday evening mass at his parish in Malibu. And when he got to the time for communion, it was the days when we took communion from the tabernacle to share with the people. We don't do that much anymore. Now we celebrate the mystery of the Eucharist and we share the Eucharist, which is part of our prayer. But then we got the Eucharist from the tabernacle. So John got to the communion time and he turned to the tabernacle and he didn't have the key for the tabernacle. Small crisis. So he's looking for the key. And then he says, oh, I think I know Sister. There was a nun there. He said, Sister, I think I left the key in the convent chapel this morning when I was there for Mass. So Sister, off she goes. And she's off. She finds the key in the convent chapel. And she tells the people, now be calm because we'll get the key and then we'll have the Eucharist. So they wait patiently there for 5 minutes. Sister comes back and said, Monsignor's not there. He said, oh, gosh. I tell you, Sister, I think it's in the rectory in that table right next to my chair. Now, people all be patient now, and sister will find the key. So sister goes off to the rectory. After another 5 minutes, she comes back and she said, "It's not there, Monsignor." So he's not sure what to do. So he tells the people, "Now, we're very sorry, but we can't have the Eucharist today because we can't find the key. So I'll read the announcements and then we'll go home." Well, of course, he got a letter. There's always a letter. So no matter what happens, the pastor gets a letter. So he got a letter. And it came on Tuesday. And there was some lady saying, "I was at the 5 o'clock Mass on Saturday when we couldn't get communion." And she said, "I never felt more close to Jesus with the community, because it was the first time that I ever saw people hungering for the Eucharist." And I never forgot that. It's somehow when we're denied the thing that we begin to say, maybe we should appreciate the Eucharist a little bit more. And Pope Francis says, "The Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect. The Eucharist is a gift to those who are struggling, to heal, to encourage, to bless, to reconcile." So keep that in mind. The feeding of the multitude, a type of the Eucharist. And who qualifies? The person who is genuinely hungry qualifies. That's interesting. It raises all sorts of discussion, of course, about who is worthy to receive the Eucharist and who is not worthy to receive the Eucharist. So let that prompt some discussion. Amen.